Hey friends, before we dive in, my new book, Sowing a Hidden Seed, Daily Prayers for Your Child's Spiritual Growth, is out now, available on intentionalparents.org exclusively, so go check that out. Christmas is coming. What a great Christmas present to get your family praying. And don't miss our upcoming retreats, the Intentional Fatherhood Retreat, February 19 through 21, 2026, in Costa Mesa, California, and the Intentional Motherhood Retreat. We announced this April 23rd through 25th, 2026 in Franklin, Tennessee. Please come out and know that early bird pricing is on both of those events, so check that out. These retreats are spaces to pause, breathe, and invest in your spiritual formation as a parent. So learn more, get your tickets now at intentionalparents.org, and let's get into this week's episode.
Merry Christmas.
All right, we are back. The Intentional Parents Podcast. Phil and Diane and Elizabeth are here. Hi, everybody.
Hello.
Oh, there you go.
Merry Christmas.
Your microphone was distanced from you, Diane. Today's our Christmas episode. I'm really excited. We're talking about Christmas. Next week, we hope to release a Christmas episode, the week of Christmas. But two Christmas episodes is better than one, wouldn't you say?
I think three is better than two because we love Christmas. Family is all into Christmas.
Oh man, we love it. We've had a lot of people asking about our traditions and what we do. And I think it's so funny because a lot of the stuff that we do, I know for Elizabeth and I, has been from stuff that you guys do and vice versa. We all kind of hand down traditions. I would wonder really quick, what's a tradition that you guys do that was handed down from your parents? I'm sure there's a couple. Yeah.
One for me was going to church on Christmas Eve late at night,
like the midnight service.
Yeah, but it's called 11 a.m. I wasn't Catholic, so it's called midnight mass in the Catholic Church. But I was not that. I wasn't a Christian, but I was quote Protestant. But they had 11 o'clock candlelight service that ended at midnight.
Okay.
And then when I became a worship pastor in a church, we did these big, huge musicals.
Yes.
And then we didn't do Christmas Eve services. So I would go with my mom and dad, and Ted Simmons sang "O Holy Night" from behind.
Oh, that's
and
cool.
I just loved it. It's still my favorite song. So the tradition that's carried over for me is "O Holy Night." And then, of course, if the church that we're part of, which we are here at Riverbend, is doing Christmas Eve gatherings,
yes,
we're going to be there. And it's just so cool to light the candles and worship as a family, on Christmas Eve for the birth of Christ. So I think that's a tradition that's carried over for me from my childhood anyway into our family.
How about you, Diane?
I think the one that we've carried over from our parents, I think you would agree, Phil, is just rather than do a very simple, quiet Christmas, we just go all out. My parents just were so generous at Christmas. You know, they would think of something all year long. They would think of just the right gift. It was usually something we needed and couldn't afford on our own, or it was just something just so great. And they're really thoughtful about each of their kids and grandkids and what they gave. I mean, my parents were incredibly.
Yeah, well, your parents were able,
they were financially
they
able,
were really well off. They were able to give big things,
And they,
here's a pair of skis and here's lift tickets.
Wow.
And our family didn't have that kind of money, but.
Yeah.
But you know what? You can always spend your money on yourself.
Exactly.
And I think they showed us what it means for a young family that every penny is going to needs.
Yeah.
You don't have a lot of expendable income, but my parents were so generous with us on Christmas. It was.
Yeah. The whole gift giving tradition. I mean, it's in scripture. The wise men came bringing gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh to the king. And I mean, I think you'd say that's really where it came from,
a
time to give gifts to each other. And of course, St. Nicholas, who now becomes Santa Claus, he gave. And so, I remember as a kid, this is pre give us the tech world.
What year
I was born in 1950. So like in 1956, 1957, I'm, 6-7 years old. So there were still delivery trucks. And I can't remember if it was UPS or not. I'd have to look up. Probably it was UPS. But there was no Toys R Us yet. And so Firestone tire shops, which are still around the country, to make a little extra money, they would sell toys. And so I had an aunt in Ohio that worked at a Firestone tire shop. So my mom would have her mail in the U.S. mail, the toy catalog, like around October. And then my mom would have her I have two brothers, show us all the toy catalog, and we would circle things we would love to get, but we never knew what we were going to get. Knew that she was going to order something. And I remember about when I expected it, I would stand at the front window waiting for the truck to come. And that's it wasn't the truck. It was what was in the truck. And so the guy would pull up and bring these packages. And you're just, as a little kid, you go, my present is in there. And the anticipation, did I get my Firebird 89, which was a little kid's dashboard, like you felt like you're driving a car, or whatever. Or the fire engine or whatever. It was so fun. And so, we're so blessed to be able to still have Sloan's 4 and 36, because Christmas with kids is
it's
the best.
It's so sweet. Well, a tradition or something that we picked up from you guys, not a tradition, but something that's fun, is the old trains. The trains.
Oh, yeah.
What are they called exactly? Yeah. So the one that I have, it's like from the 60s, 70s.
Yeah,
that
yours
time.
Is like a 1960 train. It's the kind that I had when I was a kid, which was in the 50s. It's a steam locomotive, the black steam locomotive in the coal car. And the coal car has a whistle in it,
Yep. And they go around go around the track, and they're just like, the transformer that turns it on definitely is about to start a fire at any time that you plug it in.
And you have certain things you wish you never did. I had a garage sale. I gave away the one that I grew up with.
You did?
Because I was an idiot. And then you and I found the train expert, Ollie, we call him.
I know.
From that kid's book. But anyway, and we were able to buy similar ones.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, now we call it vintage.
Yeah, well, but they're beautiful and they're really fun. And everybody, I know we're sharing ours. A lot of people have theirs. And, I think one of the things that is really fun for us to talk about today is a couple of the things that we do. Some people have asked us about Santa. What do we think? What do we do with Santa? We'll talk a little bit about that. But today I wanted to start us. Diane, you had a little bit of a story and or just kind of some things that the Spirit's been stirring on your heart around this. And I would just love for you to maybe frame our day and our conversation, and then we'll get into some of these other fun things.
You are enjoying content brought to you by Intentional, a crowdfunded nonprofit that desires to help families and marriages all around the world in the area of discipleship and spiritual formation. This offering is completely free, thanks to the generosity of our growing community of Legacy Builders. Legacy Builders is a group of people from all around the world that give monthly to fuel this dream that we have in our hearts of seeing discipleship to Jesus in the family become a way of life. A monthly gift of $5, $10, or even $30 can continue to fuel this ministry forward. Our dream is to invite people like you to join and partner with us at a financial level and see this work integrated into families. So as you listen to this podcast, would you prayerfully consider joining us? Would you allow the Spirit to lead you, even if it's just to a few dollars a month? Thank you so much, and may the Spirit of Jesus give you wisdom, clarity, and joy as you pray about joining us. And if you want to join today, go to intentionalparents.org and click on Give.
Okay, well, this was a lesson I've learned this week in a very real way. And as I was writing into my journal and explaining to Phil what I was learning, I just felt like, gosh, this is for every young mom who's got kids at home and is juggling too many things. And what I call the list, which is that long list, whether it's actually written down or it's in your head, of all the things that you should be doing. And it's something inside of me, and I think a whole lot of other people, says that if I get everything done on my list, then I have been successful. Then that almost proves my worth somehow. I'm a worthy woman. It sounds ridiculous when I say it out loud, but I honestly, it's a lie that I get trapped into. And so I was in school this last Friday, And many of you know that I've been going through a 3-year master's degree program at Western Seminary. And this last semester was the final, this was the last class of the semester. And it all has to do with wholeness, that the 8-hour class is on being whole people, which includes shalom, human flourishing, peace, how we get to the point of being wholeness. And obviously, as I was listening to my teacher talk about it, the definition of being a whole person in Christ is that you fully understand who you are, that you are chosen, that you're beloved, that you are holy in Christ, that you're complete in yourself. And as she was talking about it and then explained an exercise we were going to be, I'm just thinking, I'd been up really early that morning to get to class in time. And instead of spending a great, beautiful time in the Word, I was making my list in my journal at about 5 o'clock that morning of all the things I have to do. We just moved. So it's all move, all the things I have to do, because I'll be really a complete whole person is the lie, I believe, if we can get our cars in the garage before the family comes at Christmas. If everything's done just right. Oh, this is not wholeness. This is uptightness. This is going to leak onto everybody else. So our teacher puts us in groups of four, and we're doing healing prayer over each other, an exercise in healing prayer, which is really wholeness, you know. So we're looking for unwholeness in ourselves. And in this case, she is mirroring it after the story in Matthew of the four friends who brought their paralytic friend to Jesus. And remember, he lowered him through the roof.
Yep.
Because they did not know how to help their friend become whole. So all they knew is that they needed to bring their friend to Jesus.
Yes.
So that is kind of the principle that we were working off of. I think Phil's finding the story. I think it's like pretty close to the beginning of Luke. And, so we have four of us together and we're bringing each of us in turn to Jesus and asking and praying over each other. And when it became my turn, one of the things that we're asked to do is, you know, what's heavy on your mind? Mm. What lies do you think you're believing?
Oh, yeah.
So I said, I think the lie I'm believing is that I will be a good person if I get everything on my list checked off.
Wow. Yeah.
And they looked kind of like at me like, what? And one of the guys in the group, so remember, these are all like my children's age and younger. I mean, I'm the grandma in the group.
You're the mom.
Three pastors in the group. And so one of the guys who is a family life pastor in Seattle, he said, why do you make a list? and I thought, well, because... I mean, that's what you do.
Everybody
right?
makes a list.
Who doesn't make a
you
list?
Make a list.
He's not going to keep his job for very long, apparently.
Another guy, after I kind of was fumbling, he said, why would you even need a list? And they all looked at me just kind of quiet. And I thought, oh my goodness, I think I'm supposed to throw away the list. So they're praying over me that I would be freed from the list. I didn't want them to pray that. I wanted them to pray that I would have the energy and the organizational skills to finish the list. The list is what's going to prove that I'm like a real woman. I'm a real person. I'm a good person. Wow. I'm going to get lots of pats on the back because
you did it.
I finished the list.
Yes.
So we're praying and they're praying over me and I'm thinking, God, I don't think I want them to pray this over me. But then they spoke words of real wisdom into my life and they suggested that I go into the next few weeks before Christmas, moving right before Christmas, and that I dance, they use this word, that I just dance my way through Christmas, through the organization of my home, through the breaking Whoa. Down of boxes, that I, Bria, the woman, the other young woman in the group, said, I think you just need to be asking God, like every hour on the hour, what should I do now? And to ask him to join you in doing it.
She's definitely not a type A
Basically,
person.
Basically, they told you to throw away your list and do that instead.
Exactly. And I got, and it was one of those moments, you know, where you just feel like, I could not have heard this on my own.
Yeah.
I'm too trained. Yes. I trained myself in the list.
Yeah.
My mother was bound to her list. My dad was a list person. My husband is a list person. Mm-hmm. All my kids are list
yes,
people.
I know.
And
I do
think
know that.
I need to be free of this list. And I never, like the four friends who brought the paralyzed man, he was not capable of bringing that area of his life for healing.
Yeah.
And I feel like these three other people were doing to me the very same thing that those four friends brought. They're paralyzed. Yes. I'm paralyzed without my list.
Yeah.
So I get home and it's everything I can do not to write a list, but I get up the next morning and I start unpacking things.
Okay.
And I have the best day ever.
Really?
I'm doing what they said. I'm just trusting them that they see something I don't see. I had the most productive day I've had. I was flitting all over the place. One of the reasons I have a list is because my mind just goes, I see something and I want to organize the shoes in my closet.
Yeah.
But then that leads me to the laundry room and I want to organize the laundry cupboard. So I'm all over the place. It was so fun. I felt like I was just dancing instead of, being just yes. frustrated by my list. So this is where I want young moms to listen to me here, because I remember a mentor telling me to make a list every day when my kids were little of everything I needed to accomplish and check things off. And I remember being utterly frustrated because I would be lucky if I checked, maybe I had a dozen things written down. I'd be lucky if I checked off two at that stage of my life. Nursing baby, toddler, preschooler at the time.
Oh yeah.
And I just hated that list because it just showed me what I could never get done. So then a couple days after all of this, I'm having the most productive, wonderful time. And I decided to write a reverse list. And this is what I want young moms to listen to right now. And men, you too, because you're just as frustrated that you can't get all this stuff done.
I don't know what you're about to say, but all that keeps coming to my mind is she's making a list and she's checking it twice.
That's right.
And what's also killing me is like I receive lists from my wife of things I need to accomplish. Like, hey, by the way, here's your things for the day. So, so honey, I just really want you to listen up to this.
Very rarely.
That's okay, really so interesting.
I will send him list of here's five things we need to talk about.
Yes.
Well, that's better than what.
Because when we were engaged,
this is funny.
Phil saw a tape. Mom used to tape a list to the cupboard in
for
the kitchen.
Jack's list.
Oh,
and there was always a list. The thing that was like, you better do it.
And he took me aside and he said, "Di, when we're married, never do this."
I did.
Please. He said that to you.
Never do this.
Don't you ever? And she hasn't.
No.
And she doesn't. And Elizabeth's list. Yeah. To be fair, I'm excited about the reverse list.
So this is what I did.
Yeah.
It was early in the morning. I was up early. I was worshiping God because I was feeling so free.
Good.
Instead of bound by my list. So
that's cool.
I wrote at the top of it. I wrote, "This is not a to-do list, but a done list." And I listed 20 things that in the last 2 days, since they had prayed for me, that I got done. And it was
amazing.
I'm looking there thinking, oh my gosh, I'm amazing. Look at everything I got done.
Yeah.
Whereas my list leaves me only aware of what I haven't got done. So
that
this
is
totally
really,
practical.
Really fun.
This is not in the least bit biblical.
No,
I can't
no,
give you chapter and verse.
No, it
except
is. I'm,
for the
I'm
fact,
gonna make it biblical here.
Okay, but except that these, you know what? Sometimes we need for friends who will bring us to Jesus.
Yeah.
But to do that, we have to be honest, and we have to tell people what is the lie I believe.
That's so good.
That my worth is wrapped up in my accomplishments.
Yep.
I'm not even wired that way by God to be this high-achieving list. Yes. List crosser offer. I'm wired by God to be somebody who
dances through the day,
who just delights in the day.
Yeah.
But looking back then to see that, oh my gosh, I got the work done and it didn't even feel like work to me.
That's a huge gift. What a cool story.
Oh, so, you know, I shared it with Phil and he
Yeah, I immediately said, you have to share this for especially the young moms.
Yes.
You know, a to-done list or whatever.
A done list.
Instead of beating yourself up for all the things you should be doing, you're thanking God that he gave you the energy to get some things done. Because, of course, God wants us to be productive.
And on my done list are time I spent with each of my grandkids that week, too.
Yeah. Oh,
and I felt like that was really important because the problem is the list represents activities, achievements. What it doesn't represent is relationships.
Honestly, you guys were blessed by how these people spoke over her. And she's a godly woman, so she took it to the Lord. And it actually resulted in blessing because when we get the text, Bertie and Sloan want to come over, instead of having an uptight wife, you know, they can't come over right now. I have to do this and I got to get the thing hooked up and the closet's a mess and you need to get your stuff in there. Yeah. She was like, have them come over.
That's why we moved here.
And there were blocks everywhere. We found the Barbie stuff. I mean, you know, it was strewn all over the house and it was awesome. It reminded me of that verse where no oxen are, the manger is clean, but much increase comes from the strength of the ox. So the house was a lot messier when Bertie and Sloan got here. But look what's happening. We got to spend time with our 6-year-old and 4-year-old.
Yeah.
Anyway, I just wanted to ground the story. And there is an application here to the Christmas story. Let me do it quickly. But first of all, it's the story that Diane referred to is in Mark chapter 2. And it says, many were gathered together. There was no longer room, even near the door. He was speaking the word to them. And these people brought you to Jesus. Yeah. And they said, I think your perspective is wrong.
Yeah.
You know,
you're believing a lie.
You're focusing on what in the end, is it really what really matters?
Uh-huh. That's so good.
You know, is it the house is perfectly clean in the garage? You know, is that really the most important? It's important, but is it the most important thing? Mm-hmm. And they came bringing the paralyzed man, a paralytic carried by 4 men. Being unable to get to him on account of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. And when they had dug an opening, they let down the pallet on which the paralytic was lying. And then Jesus saw their faith. He said, your sins are forgiven. And he heals the man. So, you know, they were determined to bring their friend to Jesus. And these people brought you to Jesus. But I think that Christmas time is so busy and so hectic. And, you know, every marketer is trying to get you to buy their product. And, you know,
Instagram makes it seem like everybody's putting on these, doing all the crafts and the DIYs and the amazing meals. And, you know, noticed recently on Instagram, it's like all your packages have to look so beautiful.
Yeah. But, in Luke 2, when the angel announced the birth of the Messiah, he said, do not be afraid. I mean, we can be just bound up and freaked out about everything we must do. Behold, I bring you good news of a great joy, which shall be for all the peoples, for everyone. Today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Well, the prophecy back in Isaiah 9 says a child will be born to us. It's hundreds of years before Jesus came. A son will be given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he is the solid rock. Mm-hmm. His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace.
Yes,
so it needs to be a season of Jesus came to bring peace, and he's
and
child.
That was one way. Well, that's one and way so, you experienced
Jesus.
This.
So, didn't come to bring me a list of things he didn't come, I have to do.
And his name shall be called the List Giver. No, his name shall be called the Prince of Peace. And I think
like
that she actually experienced some shalom, wholeness, some flourishing.
Yeah.
By really, what you did was bring the tension of stuff that does need to happen at some point. But you saw it in light of eternity, in light of your grandchildren.
Perspective.
And I think at Christmas time, it's really easy to lose the perspective.
Yes.
You know, this is why so many churches are doing Advent right now. I think that's a good thing.
I love it.
You know, where it's focusing on this part of Christmas, the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who came to bring peace. And so we shouldn't be the most frantic, hassled people. I guess my point is everybody should make a done list.
Yeah.
And then you should experience the peace of Christ. It says in Colossians, let the peace of Christ rule in your heart and be thankful. And so I think that's the point I want to apply your story with.
Okay, that's so great. A done list. I think you'll be amazed at what you get done. But I think one more list maybe needs to be made, and that is what I will not do this Christmas. Ooh. All the stuff I'm not going to do.
I'm
going to
write
Christmas
emotional breakdown. Start. I will not have emotional breakdown.
Well, what are you thinking? I mean, if I'm a mom and I heard you say that, I'd go, what's she talking about?
Yeah. I think that's going to be different for
when my kids were
every
little, person, right? One of the things that women did, stay-at-home moms did, is they'd make like a dozen different kinds of Christmas cookies. And it was the thing. I mean, I started in November. I would have the dough in the freezer.
But
and
it was
because,
a tasty Christmas.
And it wasn't
though.
Because that's it was fun.
Yeah, it's because we were supposed
a
to
A dozen
do.
Cookies is not fun.
My parents went maybe, crazy too. They went yes, crazy. Okay. Yeah, same deal.
But, you know, maybe one or two or three kind of cookies is fun. But it stops being fun.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
At some point.
Maybe not so, for all like some just gifted bakers might enjoy
maybe.
It. But
well,
maybe.
Maybe
not.
I was just going to say, I think it's so important that is individual.
It
because
is. Of course.
My no isn't going to be somebody else's no.
Right.
But I think if you're looking at through the lens yes. of what is mine to say yes to, what is mine
yes,
to say no
that's
to.
That's a really good point. Yes.
Then you can tailor
like
fit
that.
It to.
There just are going to be some things that you're going to say no to because, and in the end, can I be a really loving person in my home and a peaceful mm-hmm. present in my home if I say yes to this?
Yeah.
And only you can answer that.
Yes.
Really.
Yeah.
And you're going to make a bunch of mistakes and you're going to say, I'll never do that again.
Yeah.
But in my cookie baking one, I remember one year just saying never again. That
yes.
was just not fun.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And,
I remember that too. We didn't get as many different kinds of cookies.
I remember for different.
But she made the. She was so sweet. She made our favorite, my favorite.
Oh,
you stuck
yeah.
with the chocolate.
I think it's
covered
so funny.
Peanut butter balls.
We
you
don't
still
know
made
the
them.
The funniest balls. Thing is like how this changes generationally.
It does.
We do nothing. Like we
That's
don't
not
make.
True. We don't do nothing.
This is not hey, I happen to know she makes homemade gluten-free cinnamon rolls on
yes.
Christmas.
Oh yeah. No, I mean,
do.
I mean like the whole idea of like
we
baked
do,
goods
we
throughout
do sugar
the
cookies
season.
And the kids that like one. Hold me to it. I hate making sugar.
Yeah,
cookies.
But you don't
I
have.
I would never make them again in my life.
Because listen to this.
They're coming to my house because we're going to. We're going to make two recipes, my sugar cookie recipe and your
gluten-free
one.
Gluten-free
and we're not one. Going to tell anybody which is which. And we're going to have a contest to see a taste test. Well,
that'll be easy.
Except
like
for those
this.
Who are gluten sensitive, who if they have the wrong cookie, they'll die.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Don't give those to Duke,
yeah,
please.
He will like, oh, I ate the cookie and I'm not going to be celebrating
Brooke and
Christmas.
I will be the taste
see
test.
Yes.
It'll be
I can do
tell.
Gluten or non-gluten. on that note of gift giving and Christmas cookies and overweight, let's talk about Santa. let's talk about Santa. So interestingly enough, I had some different people reach out to me. I know we've had it over different various spaces of people like asking like, okay, let's talk about Santa Claus. What is the perspective on Santa Claus? Can we talk about it? Is it bad? What does the Bible say? And so we're not going to spend a ton of time here because we don't need to, but I do think there's a couple thoughts that we do have about Santa. We can tell you what we do, and this isn't us saying that this is the only way or the right way, but I think it is important for us to say what we do, and then we can explain why, and then you can take that. Does that sound fair, team?
Yeah.
Does that sound right? So I know for Elizabeth and I, we do not talk about Santa Claus as a real human that breaks into our home and gives us presents. Just kidding. Obviously, we could be graphic with it. But and the reason we don't, and so many people are like, oh my gosh, I don't respect you anymore. That's okay if that's the case. I grew up with like the opposite. My mom and dad loved Christmas. My mom was so sweet and so diehard on the like Santa game that I remember when I was at least as late as this is embarrassing, 9 years old, writing like a letter to, I was eight. Big difference. writing a letter to Santa and, you know, leaving the whole traditional milk and cookies out to wake up the next morning to some of the cookies were gone and some of the, you know, lukewarm milk like was drank, like disgusting. And it was just, and then a note back. Santa had written me a note back.
Oh my goodness.
And, you know, I remember looking at it thinking, this isn't my mom's handwriting. Not that I would know that at 8 years old or my dad's, but I was like, this is different handwriting. I remember noting that. And I remember just getting this letter. And then I don't remember the day when I found out all of this was a lie, but I do remember thinking like, wait, who wrote the letter? Like, who was the person that wrote the letter? So I'm not coming from a space that, like, I had this in my family tradition. And all I will say is that it's been really sweet, even with our kids, not, you know, we don't overdo the Santa thing. But we just tell them that he was a really generous person in history, which is true, St. Nicholas. And we tell him that he was a gift giver. It was a great story. But yes, there's not a magical creature that comes down our chimney or, you know, shapeshifts. It's a fun thing to think about. It's a fun thing to talk about, but no, in part, that's real. Now, that's been really funny because that's actually been unfortunate when our kids that can be quite factual at times are around other kids that are just dreaming.
One of our kids told their cousin that Santa was not real. And
this cousin did not know. So, you know, there are some things, but I want to say, if you're around and you're celebrating this, I don't think, you know, I don't see anything wrong per se, but I don't always know how helpful it is, but this is just my opinion. So I'd love to hear other people's opinions.
I think one thing that was a little bit our thought process, you know, I was opposite of you.
Yeah. You guys grew up.
Mm-hmm. Believing in Santa Claus, you guys can speak to that. But
yeah, you speak to the deprivation of her life.
I will. But that's why she's in therapy.
That's a good joke.
Good job, Dad. That was funny.
That was really funny. That was good.
But I think that obviously we all know that the holidays that are supposed to be about Jesus' birth and resurrection are so highly commercialized. Mm-hmm. It is so hard to keep those holidays with Jesus at the center for kids.
Mm-hmm. And for adults even.
100%. Yeah.
Yeah.
And because we're human and because presents are really exciting and so is Easter candy and all of that. Like, we're just human. That's normal. It's not this great moral thing. But I think for us, when we started to have kids and started to realize, man, it's going to be hard enough for us to keep Jesus the main thing at Christmas. We don't need him to compete with Santa Claus. Was kind of, I think, a little bit of our like first process. And it's ended up becoming kind of this sweet, like, our girls still, when they see like a big blow up Santa in somebody's yard, they get equally as excited as somebody who believes that he brings them their presents. They think Santa is wonderful. And they know he's not real. And yet they think he's just this great, jolly character. And we kind of even joke a little bit about it.
Well, we were at this Christmas tree lighting the other night, and there was a Santa that was there. And there was a bunch of people that were, you know, kids were lining up. Also adults. That was weird. That got weird when these full-grown adults are sitting on his lap. I was like, what is going on? This is definitely not the kind of Santa that I was expecting. But, you know, it was this interesting thing. And the girls see him, the little ones, Birdie and Sloan. They're 6 and 4, and they look at him like, whoa, he's real. And I was like, well, that is a real person. Yes, but that's not actually Santa Claus, you know, like, but he's just dressed up as Santa, you know, but their eyes just huge, you know, and we're not trying to like blow up their life, but they weren't like, oh, I want to sit on that guy's lap. They were creeped out by the whole situation. They were just like, why? I don't want to get close to him. They like seeing him from a distance, but they're like, this guy's intimidating. It was just an interesting kind of setup. But yeah, what was your guys' line of thinking when they were growing up?
If you're enjoying this content and you want to go deeper, we have an amazing resource that we want to tell you about. It's the Intentional Film Series, Raising Passionate Jesus Followers. Now, this is an incredible tool for you for spiritual formation in the family. And we created this film series to help parents in their God-given task to raise and disciple their own children. Now, our hope is that we're able to help you and give you some of the tools that I know we so desperately need as we're in the process of raising our kids, and Phil and Diane have actually raised their kids. This is a 9-session film series on the process of what raising a passionate Jesus follower actually looks like. There's some workable solutions in here, there's a bunch of wisdom from the scriptures, and there's a bunch of practical help in your journey as you are raising your children. We cover all sorts of things like parental roles, goals versus values. What is discipline versus punishment? How do I create a heart of obedience in my child where they actually want to obey? What does
a heart of self-control look like? Or how do I even help my child in the process of character development? We cover that and so many more things. You can use this film series in a variety of ways. You can use it at your home, preferably with your spouse if that's applicable, with a group of friends or in your community, or even through your local church. All you need to do is head over to our website, intentionalparents.org, click on film series, and then follow the prompts. We have a bunch of other resources there that you can check out, but we do pray that this blesses you in your pursuit of raising passionate Jesus followers.
Yeah, well, when I was growing up, of course, you know, I had great parents. No, they didn't overdo the Santa thing. I think we did do the cookies and milk thing, but
yeah,
you know, they didn't, it wasn't, they didn't work hard to instill that yes. Santa was this mystical person. So I guess I didn't really have one thought over another, except I do remember having friends that were like so believed he was real and this miraculous creature. And I don't think I ever believed that, but yet we still do yes. milk cookies. This is kind of the traditional
thing. Yeah, yeah.
But when I came to Jesus
yeah.
and when we got married mm-hmm. and we were first generation Christians, and of course Star Wars had already just come out, wow. you know, in the late 70s. And I was so like, if my kid thinks, how am I going to tell him how powerful God is if the Force mm-hmm. is, you know? So, I mean, I was one of the radical ones that wouldn't take my kids to the original Star Wars. I mean, you think that's like, how could you do that to your kid? You that's like that? Child abuse. But they survived, you know, and now they're Star Wars freaks. But at the time, you know, so I viewed Santa Claus the same way. Like, I didn't want, because in a child's mind, I didn't want them to think he's on the par with
yeah.
God, because you know, what's the stupid song we sing? He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows, I'm not going to sing it because it'll go right into your mind. He knows when you're awake.
He knows if
you've been bad or good. There's only one person that actually sees you when you're sleeping and knows when you're awake and knows yeah. that's God. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I don't want them to think that Santa Claus is on par with that. Now, this is the Q&R. This is just our response.
Yeah.
So I think there's a world where you can enjoy, you know, the whole, and not just Santa. Like, I remember when Matthew, he was our fourth when he was a little kid. You guys remember we used to go to our favorite Chinese restaurant, House of Good Fortune. Yeah. I call it House of Bad Fortune. That shopping center did this massive blow up snowman. And yeah. he was really cool. And so almost yeah. every night, Matthew would go, I want to go to the no-man. Yeah. So we hop in the car and we go drive by the no-man, you know? So it's like, so a big blow up Santa or, you know, that stuff, that's fun, you know? And mm-hmm. we had, you know, we would give our kids an ornament at every Christmas. And now Diane won't let them on the tree anymore because they don't match. But anyway, but we used to have this eclectic tree yeah. with all these different ornaments. Yeah. And Matthew was into Santa Clauses. So he got a whole bunch of different Santas. So mm-hmm. so we're not but throwing Santa under older, the bus.
He was a teenager, actually. Actually, when he got into yeah.
So we didn't throw Santa under the bus, but we just told our kids flat out, there's no miraculous creature called Santa that appears and has these magical powers. You know, there's only God who is omnipotent.
Yeah.
And I think our kids turned out fine. They are in therapy, which makes me feel like a failure as a father.
But it's not about Santa. It's not about Santa.
So,
okay, so
am I voicing this correct?
I think you're voicing this correctly. So Phil and I, first generation Christians, we knew that. I mean, we didn't grow up knowing that Christ was really the center of Christmas. You know, we knew that there was some other story, but we didn't understand that story as children. So Santa Claus became, you know, maybe more important because of that. So when we had children, we really wanted Jesus to be the main star of the show, of the season, whatever. And we could not. I tried to fit the Santa story in, but I mean, it's convoluted. Santa just does not fit with the real story of Christmas. There's just no way to make those two fit together. Mm. So for us, it was partly, let's first honor the fact that the child development people were telling us that in children's mind before the age of 12, they can't think concretely as black and white before the age of 12. So if you say to an 8-year-old, there's a Santa Claus, he believes that there's a Santa Claus. He doesn't really have a brain capable of saying, no, that's not possible. So part of us just wanted to not tell any lies to our kids because we wanted to and I know this sounds kind of foolish to call Santa Claus a lie, but this is, I'm just telling you that idealism of us in our 20s and 30s when the kids were really little was we want our kids to know the truth because we want them to believe the truth when we tell them about Jesus.
Well, and
so it seems extreme now.
Yeah.
But for us at the time, it made total sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's what God led us to do. And our firstborn was a very rigid, almost thinker as a very little boy. It was right or it was wrong. And for him, we almost had to adapt the holiday for him. We just did Jesus. Unfortunately, he also told his cousin when they were like four.
oh my gosh,
that Santa Claus was not true. It was a lie. And his mom and dad told him so. And,
oh, man.
And my brothers and his wife were doing the opposite, telling him that Santa Claus.
So yeah, of course they're not.
I do not think that there's a right or wrong here, though. I think Santa, you can totally make Santa a sweet story. The St. Nicholas story is beautiful.
It's really beautiful, yeah.
It's our personalities lend itself towards...
But you want to speak truth to your kids. You know, when you just said that, we wanted to tell them the truth, you know, and Ephesians 4:15, it says we're to speak the truth in love and we're to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ. So, but you know, I think that probably you too, Diane, but me for sure, like what I will say is my parents, although we did do the cookies and milk thing, as I think about it now, the liberal church that I grew up in, which never said anything about sin or the death of Christ, you need to receive Christ. I didn't hear any of that. But they did do a live nativity scene. Mm-hmm. This is in the Bay Area, so the weather's nice. You 60 degrees at night. You can do a lot of stuff like with real sheep and, you know, actors from the church dressed up. And we would always go by. We'd go see the Christmas lights in the houses in Willow Glen, but we'd also go by the nativity scene. And so I think that was implanted in my mind.
Yeah.
I think that the real story was implanted there along with the other story, which isn't true. And I'm grateful for those seeds that were planted in me as a kid. Because I think that then once we came to Christ, we were like really passionate to be sure that the right seed gets planted.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think honesty and integrity, you know, helping to teach your kids that it's important to be honest with all these things and not to over-exaggerate. I think that is the crux for us too, is that trying to live lives of integrity in that space. And again, I think what I do want to say is if we're in personal relationship to anybody that is listening to this and we see you, none of this like bah humbug stuff. We're like totally into it. We don't judge or anything. That's just what we do. And we're sharing that with you because I know a lot of people have asked. And so I'm going to wrap up today, but here's one thing we want to leave people with. We last year did a Christmas episode as well. And we talked about at length this Christmas tradition that we do. So I'm going to link that in the show notes and we can talk about that Christmas tradition. And I do want to also say something really important is that you can go to our website, intentionalparents.org, and click on the very first link. It says Christmas tradition and the whole thing. You can download it for free. It's a PDF. It's our gift to you. We'd love for you to have it. And it's a tradition of reading through the Christmas story, candlelit. It's all different translations. And so please take advantage of that. But we do want to end with a sweet story of Elizabeth. But did you have one more thing?
I just want to set it up with a word to, you know, for everybody who's listening today, maybe if you're listening and you have not really yet firmly said, Jesus Christ, I invite you into my life, be King and Savior and Lord. Well, man, I would encourage you. It's the best decision you'll ever make.
Yes.
Because in Luke chapter 2, it says, today there is born for you in the city of David, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. So the heart of Christmas is the Son of God was born, and then he lived the perfect life that we could never live. And then when he was 33 years old, he gave his life on the cross that our sins might be forgiven. And that's the message of Christmas. And that's the good news. The good news of the gospel is that the Messiah has come. And And we can be reconnected to God the Father through the death of Jesus Christ. And he saves us from ourselves and from our brokenness and from our sin. He starts putting us back together again, but we know that our eternal destiny is to be with him forever. That's the message of Christmas. And so the angel said, today there's born for you in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this is good news. And so if you've never received the good news as a mother or father, as Brooke mentioned in another podcast, but Diane and I like to say when we're sharing with parents, you can't pass on what you don't possess. You can't lead your kids to Jesus if you yourself have not given your life to him. So, man, this is the time to just rededicate your life, or if you've never received him, to receive him. But if you have children and you're praying for an open door to lead them to Jesus, man, Christmas is a time where Jesus is being seen around the manger, and you're talking about the story, and it's definitely a time to share the good news, because that's what the shepherds did when the angel appeared to them and told them to go see the baby in the manger. It says they went back glorifying God and telling everyone the good news. And so I think you may not be the one that gets to lead your son or daughter to Jesus, but if you are, you will never forget it.
Yes.
That said, to set up a cool story that Diane's going to share.
Well, I have my Bible from back in the days when my kids were young. I've been recovered a couple of times. And in the very back, there's this place for personal study notes. And that's where I wrote down at the time when each of my children gave their lives to Jesus and a little bit about the circumstances around it. So I'll read you what I have written in the very back of my Bible. It says, Elizabeth Mary Comer made Jesus the boss, that was her word, of her life on December 6th, 1989. After a week of real internal struggle, she declared her intent to say yes to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I remember her saying, I'm ready to make Jesus my boss.
Boss. I remember
that
too.
And that was a big deal because she wasn't sure she wanted she another wasn't boss.
Even, she wasn't even quite 4 and a half yet.
I wrote that there was Phil, myself, John Mark, Rebecca, and little Beth knelt beneath the Christmas tree while Elizabeth crossed from darkness to light. Amen. So that was made Christmas pretty special that year. I do remember sitting on the side of her bed before she went to sleep one night and hearing her just struggle. I don't want to make Jesus boss. I do want to make Jesus boss. Mm-hmm. I don't know. What will he, she's a very analytical thinker. Mm-hmm. Even at 4 and a half, she was an analytical thinker, weighing the pros and the cons of, do I really want to do this? Mm-hmm. And then I just remember her turning, we were all kneeling, and her turning and just hugging me so hard. It's such a vivid memory of her relief almost. It seems so funny that a 4 and a half year old could have, but now you've got a 4 and a half year old, so so you know what that would be like. Sloan makes definite decisions of her own. I could see her struggle to make Jesus boss of her life. That was a great Christmas.
Christmas is a time of good news, and it's a time to share the good news. And so whether it's, pray. We should pray as well. If there's someone that the Lord's brought into our life, that this is the time to share. For some listening, it might be one of your kids. It might be your father that you've been praying for 15 years or whatever. And there's going to be a family gathering. And maybe, I don't believe in just pounding somebody over the head, but I think you pray for an open door.
Yes.
If you pray for that open door, get ready, because it just might come. And the Lord will give you the words. But it's a time of good news, time to share the good news.
So on the count of three, everybody, Merry Christmas. 1, 2, 3.
Merry Christmas.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. If this podcast has blessed you in any way, here's a few ways that you can partner with us in this ministry. First is to give. Intentional Parents is a nonprofit, and we rely on the generous giving of our partners. So please head over to our website, intentionalparents.org/give, if you would like to become one of our partners through giving. Second is to share it. If this has at all been helpful to you, we encourage you to share it with your friends, your family, and those that you know would be blessed by it. Third is to follow us on social media platforms, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. You can find us on Instagram at Intentional
@Jesus_parents. And lastly, if you would head over to iTunes if you enjoyed today's episode and leave a review on iTunes, this helps us bring more hope, help, and healing for families.